Welcome to week 7, video 2, family. It's all relative.
Now, family is a loaded word for probably every single one of you watching this video. We've got all different kinds of relationships with our parents, our siblings, grandparents, and everybody else that we're related to by blood that feels that they get to have a say in our marriage. And family has actually been a challenge in different seasons of our marriage for both Tony and I. We've had two distinct seasons that I can remember where we both have had to say to our parents, we need you to take a step back.
Yeah.
In my case, it actually happened before we ever got married. My dad had planned for me to go to graduate school, and when he found out that I was going to move to Colorado to be with Tony instead and not go to graduate school, back in the day before texting and emailing, he actually sent Tony, I think it was a 2 or 3 page letter?
Yeah.
Outlining everything that he didn't like about Tony and Tony's influence on my life. And this was a couple of weeks before I was graduating from college. So I actually called my dad and said, look, here's the deal. This is the guy I'm with. And so you can either apologize or you can skip my graduation. Needless to say, the first few years of our relationship, because of me putting my foot down to my parents, were a little stressful and fraught with tension because of that. But it was a way for my parents to know that my relationship with Tony was going to come before, I was becoming an adult. It was going to come before my relationship with them. And you had the same thing when we were living in Orange County.
Right. And for us, we were married 4 or 5 years at the time. And a lot of family here where we live in San Diego lives here in Southern California. So our time was really being spent in going to different places and different family functions. And we just felt like, you know what? We're spending so much time driving here, driving there, that we just needed to put up some boundaries and let people know that, hey, we love you, and yet we're not going to make every single birthday. We're not going to make every single anniversary. We're not going to make every single event because I have a rather large family and we would be gone every single weekend. And so that had to be spoken to my folks, to my, you know, close family by me. Not by Elisa. We had to do that. And it wasn't one that was an easy conversation to have, but it did put up that guardrail to let folks know that if something was going on and it sort of wasn't going to work with us and what we were doing, we may not make it. Believe me, feelings were hurt. Mm-hmm. People didn't like what I had to say. And yet I can look back now, this is going 16 years, and realize that it was one of the best things we could have done, and I could have done, because it allowed us to really set that foundation to say, hey, our marriage matters, and if we're going to be running around every single weekend, it's really going to put a lot of stress on us. And so that's one area that we did. Another time we had to do that is when my folks were getting a little too much into our business all the time. And I had to speak to my folks directly and let them know that Elisa and I are married. We have our own finances. We have our own lingo that we use with each other. We have our own ways that we are dealing with our marriage, and that they needed to allow us to go through that process. And if their help was needed or we needed their advice, we would be sure to seek them out. They didn't need to give it to us. And you know what? That was another pivotal point, especially for me as the husband, to stand up to my father and let him know that I am the head of my household and that I value him. And yet it was going to come at my discretion when I needed his advice. I didn't need him to just spew on me and tell me how I needed to be running my household or my marriage.
Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of people are very familiar with the couple of verses in the Bible that say, you know, for this reason, a man shall leave his wife shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one. And it's one of those things where, you know, so often we read that verse or we hear that verse at weddings, and yet when the marriage starts, it seems like it's more like, you know, well, I'm still going to put my family first. Like, I'm going to marry you, but I'm still going to put my family first. I'm going to marry you, but I'm still going to rely on my parents. And that's not what that verse says. It says we're to leave our families and create a new family with our spouse. And that's really what we're going to be talking about, because for a lot of couples, that's a hard transition. And what I hope that you all picked up on when Tony specifically was talking about his interactions with his family is that he was the one to deal with his family. right? I was the one to deal with my family. And that's one of the things that we want to definitely encourage all of you watching this, is that when there are issues in your marriage with your parents, you're the one to deal with them. Mm-hmm. So as you're looking through this worksheet, the first thing you need to identify is who in your family is supportive of your marriage. Who is encouraging? Who is, you know, your cheerleaders? All of that. And then the second question really asks, what have they done to demonstrate this? Because you might be thinking there's a lot of people that are supportive, but when you go to that second question where you say, what have they done to demonstrate this? You may have to rethink right. that list. You know, are they giving you that advice that seems to be given in love, but it's happening every single time? Are they wanting to include you, but they want you to be there at every single event? I mean, like Tony said, when we were first married, there were, Tony's one of nine cousins, eight of them were living in Southern California. They all started having kids at the same time. So it was this big, like, let's have a birthday party. Everybody comes. And everybody had babies at the same time and got married. Yeah, so there were all these things happening at the same time. While it's great to be included, it also kind of blurs that line between family obligations and your marriage.
Right.
Then you also need to ask, who in my family does not have our marriage's best interests at heart, right? Those people that are more than willing to talk bad about your spouse, those people who are constantly butting in to tell you how you should run your marriage, those people who are saying, well, you should do it this way, or, you know, maybe you've got parents that are saying, I need you, my son, to come help me with this. I need you, my daughter, to take care of this. And really kind of overstepping the bounds and not letting the two of you create your own marriage unit. Mm-hmm. And that's critical. This relationship has to be strong so that the two of you can weather any storm.
And that can also come from aunts, uncles, grandparents. For some of you who are in blended families, then you have step-parents, you have cousins. So when you think about this isn't just your mom, dad. It could be your brothers, sisters. You know, you really need to think about that and where you're going to be setting up those guardrails to say, you know what? I love you. I love you as my brother. I love you as my sister. And yet at this time, we're going to put some distance. We're going to put a guardrail up. You can't come into my life and speak the way you're speaking about my wife. It's unacceptable. It's not acceptable. And I'm not going to allow you to do that. So it's a touchy one, and by going through this, though, it's going to allow you to just think back and hear what people have been pouring into you that probably isn't helping you at all.
And so one of the questions on here is a question for your spouse, and it's actually asking them, is there anyone in my family that you have difficulties with, and why? You know, because a lot of times spouses will kind of hold that all inside to keep the peace.
Yeah.
And the truth is that, as you've learned throughout all of these modules on Rescue My Marriage today, that anything you stuff inside is eventually going to come out. Mm-hmm. So it's better that the two of you have a conversation, have that conversation in love. And when you ask your spouse, be willing and ready to hear the answer. You might be surprised. You might be surprised that there's a cousin or, you know, a mom or a dad who is not making your spouse feel comfortable or loved. And it's up to you to start working through a plan for that.
Yeah.
You know, the next question asks, who do we need to spend more time with in terms of mentoring and or support? You might have an aunt or an uncle that you just look to and say, you know what, that marriage, that models, they're models for what we want to have. They're the couple that's, you know, been married 40 years and they're like, they still look like they're in love. Go spend time with them, right? You know, if it's your parents, spend time with healthy boundaries, spend time with them, right. Picking their brains, learning. You know, it is important that you really look at your relationship with your parents and their influence on your marriage. Because, you know, whether they live around the corner, they live on the other side of the country, parents specifically have a very definite influence over how the two of you relate to one another. And you also need to look at your in-laws, your relationship with your in-laws. Like I said, when Tony and I were first getting together and my dad wrote that letter, you know, it was not the easiest of relationships. But then about 4 years into our marriage, Tony decided to hike the Pacific Crest Trail and really stepped out to give sacrificially of himself to fundraise for his brother who has a genetic blood disorder. Well, I will tell you, Tony walking 2,658 miles from Mexico to Canada was definitely a deal breaker or a deal maker for my parents.
Yeah.
that really became the time when they're like, okay, you know what? This guy is not the crazy guy that we thought he was. This is not the guy that's taking our daughter away from his, from her dreams, but this is a guy that's going out and making things happen. Yeah, and it's so amazing to see the transformation that's happened because of that. Now, also, you want to look at how your spouse relates with your parents, right? Like one of the things that we said is, you know, there's all of these different moving parts. You know, how does your spouse get along with your parents and they with your spouse, right? Do they welcome? Do they put a wall there? You know, and if so, what are you doing to either foster that relationship or to protect your spouse? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of times I know in our marriage where Tony has really been my protector. And, you know, specifically when we were going through a season where our second child, Andrew, my water had broken at 17 weeks. And the doctors were giving us all kinds of advice. And Tony was like, you know, you think of that, you know, like the shield that knights would carry into battle. And that was Tony with all of our families. Mm-hmm. That was that time that you really stepped up and did that. So the last thing that we want to do here is have you ask the question to your spouse, what boundaries do you feel need to be in place to deal with our families? And this may be a hard question. Maybe you've never thought about having boundaries or guardrails, if you like that word better, with your families. But it might be time. You guys have been working so hard going through each one of these modules on Rescue My Marriage today. And in doing so, you've been evaluating all of these different areas of your life and your different intimacies. You really need to think about what it would look like to have guardrails around your marriage in terms of your family. And then don't just think about it, but actually take the next step and do it. So we'll see you on the next video.